Welcome to CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project.
And joining me today on CRR Radio is Lori Moore Merrill. Lori, could you take a few minutes and just introduce yourself to our listeners?
I'd be happy to. Good morning, Ed. I'm so happy to be with you. And I am Lori Moore Merrill. I am an assistant to the general president with the International Association of Firefighters. But I'm also the project manager for both the National Fire Operations Reporting System and the Fire Cares project. Both are DHS FEMA grant-funded projects that we have been very blessed to be able to build over the last 4 years. And we're excited to be here with you this morning.
And that's exactly why I asked Lori to be on. We want to learn a little bit more about both these projects. And I guess there's some big news happening here. You guys are kind of moving.
And we are. We are. We're very excited about the next steps that we have taken. We have a new parent organization. So the Research Collaborative, which is a large number of the fire service organizations, have come together to institute a new data institute. It's called the International Public Safety Data Institute. And this new organization is going to be the parent of both the INFORS project and the Fire Cares project. So, and many more to come, we hope. So we're very excited about this new organization being stood up and all the potential that is in the future.
And where does it stand right now?
It is live. The organization does exist. We have applied for our nonprofit status, so we're awaiting IRS feedback on that. But we will be standing up our website this week, actually. So we're very excited to have that. Our research collaborative has come together. What has been the folks who've been the builders of the INFORS and FireCares big data projects are staying together. They will be the research advisory council for the new institute. We're also going to be incorporating a founders group. It's corporate people who stand with the mission that we have for the organization. And so we're looking forward to adding several corporate folks to our cadre. We're also going to have a technical advisory board where we're going to bring in expertise both in the research arena and in the tech arena and be able to offer them input into projects that we take on in the future. We're also looking at hosting some internships with major universities who want to have interns work with us in this new data institute. So we're very excited about the future and what this can hold for the fire service, and particularly from a data perspective, but also branching out in the future to work some with law enforcement. And so we've been sort of brainstorming what can we offer to that arena as well.
And what's the URL for the new organization?
The new organization it's the International Public Safety Data Institute, but our URL is i-psdi.org. So unfortunately, we had to have the hyphen in there, which doesn't always help, but we're at i-psdi.org.
Okay, and I'll include that link into the show notes below. But okay, so kind of let's get into the meat of the whole thing here that really like to talk about, Fire Cares and INFORS. Let's start with Fire Cares. Can you explain what that is?
Absolutely. So Fire Cares just stands for Community Assessment Response Evaluation System. And Fire Cares is a big data system. And by that, I mean, it's akin to the Google of the fire service, if you will. So we have layers upon layers of data that you mine to be able to have information about your fire department. In your community, in fact, every fire department in the United States has a Fire Cares page. They may not know it, but every department has a Fire Cares page. And so we have built this in a large geographic database. All the data has been layered on top of this geography, and then we have mined it to bring forward three scores for every department. And so we look at community risk score. For fire, we are adding this year, we're adding even now, EMS community risk assessment. And then we have a performance score for every fire department, and that looks at how they have responded in the past to events that have occurred in their jurisdiction, looking at the metrics that are contained in the 1710 NFPA standard. And so we're developing this benchmarking for departments within the website. And then we have a third score that is, it's called the SAFE grade, and it's a comparison of the other two. It looks at how well you match resources deployed to the risk level of your community. In other words, if we make that match well, then we do better in the outcomes of firefighter injury and death, civilian injury and death, and property loss. And so we want to match well. We want to deploy resources appropriately to match the risk event, so that we respond safely, efficiently, and effectively. And so that's the crux of Fire Cares. But there's so much more, because Fire Cares also has GIS capability. You can run a 4, 6, and 8 minute capability from every station. It also has parcels included, so you can drill down and look at the risk levels of each of your built environment by parcel. And so you can click on any parcel and it'll give you more information about that parcel. And so that's really where the risk assessment comes in and begins to take hold. And as we drill down into each of these building footprints and the parcels and your data, we can also overlay your historic fires heat map or your historic EMS heat map to see where you've had high volume in the past. So again, considering risk, considering our deployment, and how well we match those things to make a difference in our outcomes as we respond within the fire service.
So where's the data coming from? Where are you getting all that?
So the data comes from various sources. So the parcel data has a source. Of course, the response data, we had to build Fire Cares using INFERS incident data. But unfortunately, the most recent national layers are for 2016. So that's 2 years old. So we don't yet have 2017 or 18 data because it's simply not available. If departments have their own transaction files, we can load their data for them. This is the point of INFERS, because what we are learning is that we can't, first of all, use two-year-old data at a national level. And certainly local governments, local fire departments need their own data that was 5 minutes ago, right? So to be able to do decision-making. So this was actually the situation that led us to build INFERS, the National Fire Operations Reporting System, so that we have a live data feed from computer-aided dispatch or from an RMS system that goes directly into their Fire Cares page. And so that would update not only the information in the background on some of the risk environment, but also their capability to respond and looking at live capability and their what happens on the fire ground, right? What happens on the EMS scene? What did they do when they showed up? What did they do to intervene in that risk event to stop the risk event, to stop the escalation, to intervene, whether it be a rescue, whether it be stopping the bleeding, whether it be getting water on the fire. All of these interventions stop the risk escalation. And so that's what we wanted to measure, the value of firefighters and paramedics when they show up. And that's what INFERS does.
So kind of the same question for INFERS. Where is it pulling its data from? How is it getting all that data?
So we are connecting live with computer-aided dispatch systems in fire departments. Now, INFERS, once we connect, or I said we can connect with anything. It can be the CAD, it can be your RMS system, it can be a data warehouse. Wherever fire departments have their data, we can connect with that. We build a data exchange pathway. It's called an API. And we can either pull or push data either way. And so we want very much to be able to connect with as many fire departments as possible, because INFERS not only feeds Fire Cares and gives you all that big data analytic capability, but it also has a live dashboard that comes with it. And so this live analytical dashboard is live for fire departments. They have it every moment of every day, where they can see their operational information, they can see where units are deployed, they can see what the outcomes were, they can begin to make operational decisions based on live data. And so we also send to them, every department who is connected, they get an email every morning, a summary of the last 24 hours. They get a weekly summary if they decide. And so we have built these live analytic capabilities for them, for their immediate decision-making. They also have one of our new features that we've just released is an incident analysis. So every incident has a full-blown analysis with benchmarking for, again, metrics that are in the 1710 standard, our performance objectives, right? So what can we measure against? So you get a live report card on every incident. You get all your data analytics and status on every call, every unit that responded to that incident. You get the background notes. So on every incident, you're going to have a pre-populated incident analysis. And I must say that this does not require data entry from any firefighter or officer. This is coming straight out of the CAD. We're using data analytics to be able to mine dispatcher notes and canned remarks and timestamps to be able to build these analysis and these reports. So it's very exciting to be able to get that kind of power from a data perspective in the hands of our fire service leaders.
And does it matter what kind of record management system a fire department might be using? Because there are a number of different vendors out there. Does N4s, is it compatible with all of them?
Absolutely, yes. We built it that way. So we are working with many of the RMS vendors already. We are very easy to connect with them. It takes really less than a couple of days to be able to set the connections up. So we are open to working with everybody in that regard. So if a fire department, whatever they choose, if they choose to keep their RMS, then we're going to work with them. We can link, as I said, directly to their CAD. And it, regardless of CAD vendor, we've worked with everything, Motorola, Intergraph, Tritech, all of the different CAD vendors we are able to work with as well. So it does not matter what you have, you can get connected to N4s.
Is there a cost for all this?
There is a minimum cost. There is a one-time connection fee. So to build your the initial API, the initial data exchange connection, and your live dashboards is a one-time fee of $5,000. You never pay that again once we are connected. And then we have a subscription fee, and it's based on population. It's very minor, and it's basically for us to pay the rent for storage of your data on the Amazon web server. All of our applications live on AWS. And so we have to obviously pay rent for that, right? And so we charge just enough to be able to cover some of those costs. So this is not we're a nonprofit, as I said, in the new institute, and we are not using that money to build additional features. We are grant funded for that. So we'll keep on improving these two data systems so that you keep getting more and more bang for your buck. But there is a small subscription fee ongoing.
And now you've been in business, I think, what, about 4 years, you said that you've been working on building this. Do you have some good case studies you can point to as to how people are using either N4s or FireCares or both?
Oh, absolutely. FireCares is becoming more and more relevant to the accreditation models. So anybody going through accreditation can begin to use the risk assessment piece, the geographic coverage capability piece, several things in FireCares that can really support your accreditation efforts. The same thing for N4s. We've built N4s with accreditation in mind, but also having, again, your real-time operational data to be able to make decisions when you can see where you have pockets much more clearly of high volume, and you're constantly having second-due responses, third-due responses into that area. How do we make changes in the system to be able to redistribute assets, right, for better response capability? So we have departments who are constantly sending us messages about, this is a fantastic product. We are using it every day to make our decisions. We've got some great quotes from several departments. So we send out that daily summary, and the chiefs are loving that. And we get a lot of feedback, and we actually use the feedback from the departments who are on the system to make our changes and make the improvements. They'll give us these chats, can you do this, you know? And we'll go, yeah, we can do that. And we'll make that change, give them back exactly what they need. So this whole system, both FireCares and N4s, has really been built and continues to be enhanced based on the needs and what we're being told live from the fire service and from the decision makers themselves. So it's a very cool thing to be a part of and to be able to deliver something that is immediately usable. You don't have to tweak it. You don't have to say, you know, I can adapt to this. No, we adapt this to you and what you need. And that's what's been really, really cool about this, is that it's built by and for the fire service.
So while for the local HJ, they can look at a very granular level on the data, is it possible for you to look at a 30,000-foot level on a national level, try to identify any sort of trends or anything that might be happening across multiple jurisdictions?
Absolutely, yes. So N4s is built so that at the national level, if we want to be able to see these kinds of trends, the data can be aggregated to be able to do that. So even though every department does not have the capability to collect, you know, water on fire, for example, until they implement policy and we start capturing in their CAD and things like that, you can still be connected. So there's a background data dashboard on what we collect in the background versus what you choose to have on your dashboard. And so we can aggregate the data from the background and have a national data dashboard. We have not moved to that yet, simply from a time perspective, because we're still building. We've got such a demand to get more and more departments on the system. So we've really focused our efforts on making sure that we are meeting the needs of the local fire departments right now. But we do have that capability. And what the other capability we have is at a state level, which is really cool. So we have several departments coming on. There are several states that have really sort of taken off. And so for them, a state dashboard is possible. And so they can have a live state data dashboard for their fire marshals. You can have it for your training officers, your fire programs, whatever it might be. So not only can we see and aggregate data at the national level, but also at the state. So the capabilities here for just because we've built it to be very dynamic and very agile, the capabilities are really endless.
Does the N4 system also integrate with N4s? You know, officer gets back to the station, filling in the run report and all that sort of activity information. Does that automatically flow into N4s as well?
It does not. And so unless we're connected with their RMS, if we're connected with their RMS system, then yes, right? So their RMS is usually what is used to fill in the data in the NFERS reports. And so if we're connected with that, then yes. If we're connected with CAD, then no. And we can do both. If you want the CAD information because it is much more timely than the RMS information, then we can connect to both so that you have that data stream from both, and it's an automatic update. As more data becomes available, it shows up in your dashboard. And so we are also, I should tell you, looking to introduce an RMS to N4s so that those departments they want the N4s to do everything for them, then we are going to be introducing right after the first of the year a new RMS capability under the N4's cadre of applications. So that is something that we can look forward to, and it again will be a very low cost. We're not, you know, looking to be again a profit making organization. We're looking to make sure fire departments have what they need to tell their story at the local level, and we want to make it as easy as possible. The other application we have, Ed, that I think we should mention is the firefighter exposure module. And that module, which we call the Firefighter Career Diary, it has been built strictly with the intent of tracking your exposures, both from a carcinogen exposure standpoint, right? So all of the toxic environments that our firefighters respond into, but also from the behavior health side. So we brought in experts. My team did not build the questions in these modules. We built the modules, connected them with the CAD module, but we brought in NIOSH, CDC, OSHA, experts from the University of Arizona, all of our cancer researchers to the table. They built the exposure application questions. So it's got all of the new and relevant information about how did you, you know, clean your gear? How did you clean yourself? How did you wash your gear? How did you, you know, get your gear back to the station? All of these relevant questions today. We also brought in behavior health specialists from our Behavioral Health Center of Excellence at the IFF to build the behavior health module. It's very simple, but it just gives our firefighters and medics a place just to get these things out of their head and record it in their own diary. And this exposure application is not something that applies necessarily to the department. The department will get aggregate reports that are de-identified, but this is more about the individual. This is your personal career diary. And so it not only logs all of your incidents, because we connect with your staffing software, whether it's Telestaff, Adashi, whatever you might use, to make sure we know where you responded, but you have a secure encrypted N4's ID, you, the individual firefighter. And so that ID stays with you for life. So you'll have all the incidents you ever responded to. You'll have your exposures that you record, both for physical exposure and behavioral health. And it's not just fire. It's EMS, it's hazmat, it's rescue, it's everything. They keep these exposures. And you have this for life. So if you retire, and God forbid get cancer in 3 years after you retire, you still have evidence of your exposures. Because a lot of our presumptive laws, it is, as you well know, it is presumed that, you know, this exposure X causes cancer Y. What is does not presume in many states is that you had that exposure. You still have to show evidence that you actually responded to calls where that exposure could have happened. And so that's why this career diary is so important. It really is a driving force behind the Enforce implementation. Everybody loves the operational data. Everybody, you know, we've got a very high demand to get dashboards live. But this exposure application is key as well. And so I want to make sure everybody knows about that and we get as many firefighters as we can connected to that exposure application.
So it sounds like you've built really quite the comprehensive application here through both Enforce and FireCares. The component you were just talking about, if I'm an individual firefighter, can I set up my own personal account, or does my fire department have to be a part of the FireCares or the Enforce family?
So at the by the end of December, Enforce exposure module will be a downloadable application. So that's, we have a grant, we were just grant funded to build this mobile application. So yes, you would be able to download it. The problem with that is you will still have to enter an incident number. So it does require a little bit more data entry. It's all done on your phone. So it's still simple. But by having your fire department connected, all of that is automatically loaded for you. So it really minimizes, because we load everything, it's geocoded, all of your evidence is now valid because it is matched with an incident number from that CAD module that I spoke about earlier. So that is the best mechanism to do it. Though yes, the exposure app will be deployed. It already has been deployed. We've used it in every deployed hurricane where we've sent in folks, sent in FEMA teams. We've sent, of course, the local responders from Harvey. So we used it first in Harvey, then we brought it over and used it in Irma. We recently used it in Florence, and the most, you know, recent Hurricane Michael. So all of these disaster deployments have carried with them the exposure application in Enforce. So we are gathering that information, and it is absolutely possible. So the best case scenario is to be connected. So a lot of your data entry is done for you from that CAD module.
How many departments do you have on board?
We are just over 75 departments, and we only started putting folks on board like in April, May of last year. So we have, we're trying to keep up with demand. So our list that, you know, want to be on is longer than our list that's on. So we are moving as quickly as possible. And once we establish a work agreement with the department, then it can be done in as little as 2 weeks if they are prepared on their end with the getting us the right contact with their CAD folks or their RMS folks and their tech person, whoever it is. We do everything remotely. It's tested, and their dashboard, then we work with them to customize their dashboard. Everything we have is customizable. And so you get to build what you want. It's very simple, actually. It's almost a drag and drop situation. But we work with them to build that. Our techs are fantastic. And then if you want changes, we're going to teach you how to do that live so that you can make your own changes and keep things building along. So we've really made it quite user-friendly, and it's very exciting to see the growth that's happening.
If somebody does want to come on board or they want more information, how should they get in touch with you, or who should they reach out to?
Oh, absolutely. Reach out to me. It's fine. Or you can go to either the FireCares or the Enforce website. And FireCares is just FireCares, all one word, .org. Or you can go to Enforce, Enforce.org. Both of those have a contact us or an info button. Those emails still come straight to me, but they also go to other members of the team as well. We will respond to you very quickly. For Enforce, we want to get with you and set up a live demo. It takes less than an hour. We're going to send you a GoToMeeting link, and we're going to show you live how this works and all of the potential. So please do contact us. There's also demos that are already scheduled. So if you want to do a group demo, just go in, select one of the dates and times. You can go live with us and see a demo on Enforce and how to get your own dashboards. Same thing on FireCares. If you'd like a walkthrough on FireCares, just reach out to us. We're happy to walk through it with you. We do have videos on both websites. with the demos and trying to show you some of the features that are there. But as soon as we, you know, we keep adding new features. So we've added two new things to Enforce. So even our videos, we've got to update, but they will give you a great idea of the capabilities. But as I said, we are continuously adding enhancements and we're really excited about continuing to build something that is hands-on usable for our local fire departments.
And I'll be sure to include the links to those websites you mentioned down in the show notes so people can find them there as well. We've been talking with Lori Moore Merrill, who's with the IFF, but also is the project manager for Fire Cares and Enforce, about both of those great projects. And Lori, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today here on CRR Radio.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Ed. Thank you so much for hosting us. And thanks for all the work that you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, my name's Ed Camo. You've been listening to CRR Radio, and we're now into our second season, so we've got a lot of shows built up here. You can certainly find out more about the podcast and listen to all the past episodes here at www.strategicfire.org/CRRradio. And you can also subscribe to us through Apple Podcast or Overcast or Stitcher, any of your podcast platforms. You can download us and subscribe and get it automatically in your feed, so I hope you'll join us. Thanks for being with us today on CRR Radio.
Thanks for joining us on CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project. For more information on community risk reduction, please visit us at www.strategicfire.org.